For what?
For public benefit. When it comes to
oh, vendors. Yeah, you can't. You have to be on the single list for a restaurant, which makes complete sense. And you should be. You should be, unless you have permission. Now, if you get permission, that changes. So let's say, like, you're selling something with Dom, you can have them take a mask with Dom. You better get it in writing. You're fine. But they'll have me actually give them the permission. Although,
I'd like to welcome everyone tonight. It's February 3rd, 2025. Would you all please rise for a short private invocation, asking for God's blessing on this city and wisdom as our city council makes its decisions tonight. And now, if you'll join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Welcome again, and I'd like to start off by inviting public input, which is item 1D on our agenda. Anyone present tonight who would like to address the city council? Okay. If not, I'll move to item 2, which is the approval of tonight's agenda. Oh, wait a minute. Sorry. I'm going to go to roll call. And
I'm here on
council member. Yep. Angel Garza is here. Gina Doro is on her way, should be here a little bit late. Entertain a motion to excuse Gina during the first part of this meeting.
I'll make a motion to excuse Gina for the first part of the meeting.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Now I'll move to item 2. Entertain a motion to approve our agenda tonight.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Our consent agenda. We have a motion.
Make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
I'll second.
And on the consent agenda, it has a contractual agreement with Sunnyside for housing our, it went up by more than $5 a day.
We went from $63 to $68.99.
How many people are we sending there right now?
We're going to discuss it. We need to move that to current business. Should we move that? Do I entertain a motion to, or make a motion?
I have some questions about it.
Okay.
Make a motion to move the interlocal agreement between the City of Othello and City of Sunnyside for housing of inmates to the current business.
Okay.
Consent agenda.
We will make that agenda item B.5.
Hey, Mayor, I have a question on the consent agenda.
I need a vote on it.
Sorry.
So, do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Corey, you had a question?
Yeah, I have a question. It doesn't need any discussion, just a quick answer. On your surplus property, those items can't be sold in the state of Washington. So what are you going to do with them?
Tanya has provided a Washington State process that, I forget the exact name of the website. Say it again? Gov Deals. And so it is a process that allows us to post those and only FFL bidders can bid on them.
Okay.
And so it's a legal process through that, and that's something we've been needed for a long time.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure they weren't gonna just get destroyed.
So. That's somebody that has a license to purchase?
Yes,
they'll purchase them and then they can resell. But
okay.
So I'd entertain a motion to approve the amended consent agenda.
I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Second. Favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. To B.5. Because there is no letter between B and C. So it'll be the third item on current business. And tonight, I have the honor of making a proclamation of the Nurse Anesthetist Week. But first, I want to explain what that's about. In our community, at the Othello Community Hospital, we have Kelly Camp, Mackenzie K-Mac, or Mac, Angela Martinez and Stephanie Lounsbury Griffin, our CRNAs in our community, who we would like to honor tonight. National CRNA Week is a time to recognize the vital contributions of certified registered nurse anesthetists. Recently, the U.S. House of Representatives introduced a bipartisan resolution to honor CRNAs for their essential role in healthcare. This year, the theme is CRNAs, Exceptional Care, Innovative Leaders. CRNAs perform a critical role in providing quality healthcare for the public and the nation's armed forces for more than 150 years, and through multiple public health emergencies and beyond. National CRNA Week is an opportunity for the healthcare community and the greater public alike to reflect on the vital work and unique expertise of CRNAs and future CRNAs, residents enrolled in nurse anesthesiology programs, while recognizing the power and resilience of the profession. This year's theme, CRNAs, Exceptional Care, Innovative Leaders, acknowledges our education and training that puts patients first. These advanced practice registered nurses have a well-deserved reputation providing safe, effective, efficient, and compassionate care. Now, I'm going to read a proclamation recognizing our CRNAs in the city of Othello. I'd like to call our CRNA in attendance, Kelly Camp, forward, please. Kelly, first of all, I want to thank you personally. You have attended to a procedure that I've had in the past, and I know firsthand what CRNAs mean to me and to this community. So let me read this proclamation, may I? So this is a proclamation recognizing certified registered nurse anesthetists. I have a hard time pronouncing that, but I'm trying here, anesthetists in the city of Othello. Whereas certified registered nurse anesthetists, CRNAs, also known as nurse anesthesiologists or nurse anesthetists, are advanced practice registered nurses, providing anesthesia care to patients in the United States for more than 150 years. CRNAs are among the nation's most trusted profession. Whereas legislation passed by Congress in 1986 made nurse anesthetists, anesthesiologists, the first nursing specialty to be awarded direct reimbursement rights by Medicare. And whereas CRNAs are primary anesthesia providers in rural and underserved communities and continue to be the primary providers of anesthesia care for U.S. military personnel. And whereas CRNAs practice in every setting in which anesthesia is delivered, from traditional hospital surgical suites and obstetrical delivery rooms to critical access hospital. I need to practice this more, don't I? From ambulatory surgical centers to the offices of dentists, podiatrists, ophthalmologists, pain management specialists, and more. Whereas CRNAs are qualified to make independent judgments regarding all aspects of anesthesia care based on their education, training, board certification, and licensure, and whereas CRNAs are trusted anesthesia experts caring for patients safely and compassionately, delivering specialized cost-effective care to all patients from newborns to seniors for every type of procedure in all types of facilities. And whereas CRNAs experience in critical care nursing in addition to anesthesia care provide the training and education to address unique healthcare challenges of some of our sickest patients, including veterans. Now, therefore, be it resolved, the CRNAs in the City of Othello, Kelly Camp, Mackenzie Mack, Angela Martinez, and Stephanie Lounsbury Griffin deserve our recognition and appreciation for the excellence they embody in Othello's healthcare community. And in witness thereof, I hereunto have set my hand and caused the seal of the City of Othello to be affixed this third day of February, 2025, Sean Logan, Mayor. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Do you want to say a few words, Kelly?
I think this is the third year in a row that you have done a proclamation for us. And I just want to thank you for recognizing our work here. We all have established ourselves in this community. We live here. We take care of everybody in this community. And it's been almost 8 years that I've been here, and it is absolutely my pleasure to see people that I see around town and I'm seeing come back time and time again to the hospital to be part of the family of Othello. So thank you very much.
Part of our family. Get those to you tomorrow. Thank you for coming. I'd like to recognize that Gina Dora has now joined the meeting. All council members are present. And shall we move to item 4B, approval of the FEMA BRIC application. Tonight we have with us the city's grant writer and administrator, Sarah Monomer. And Sarah, you have a resolution for the city council to consider?
I do. Along with the application, there is a resolution. The city is continuing its efforts to secure a long-term water source for the city. With that has come an application to us. It is the FEMA Building Resilience Infrastructure and Communities Grant, the BRIC grant. The city is intending to apply and ask for $25 million towards the construction of water treatment plant through the ASR program that we've been working with on the last probably 9 years. So, but as part of this grant process, there is a resolution that requires an applicant agent, but per the rules, the mayor cannot designate himself. So he has to appoint an applicant agent. And so with this, it would designate myself, Sarah Montemayor, the grant writer, and Spencer Williams, the finance director. So with this application, the city would be requesting $25 million. There is a 25% match requirement. There is a combination of funds that are still being worked out with Spencer, with a number of things as far as grants we have, grants that we can get to go along with this that will help towards that 25% match requirement. So with this, staff is recommending that council approve the application submission for the FEMA BRIC grant application and also the attached resolution designating the applicant agent for this grant.
Is there a question, City Council?
Looking at a $5 million match.
Six and a quarter, yeah. So large projects like this are gonna be funded with a few different sources, grant, loan, local money, and this is just the grant portion of this. You got to start somewhere when you're looking at funding this kind of thing. And we hope to get as much grant as possible to limit the burden locally as much as possible.
So this is a federal grant at the national level. So with that, we can use state grant funds. So if there is any other grants we are using with this water project that are at the state level, those can count towards that 25% match. There are a few other resources as well. And I think there are some things pending that will hopefully in the future go towards that as well. So
this piece. Would be a big piece of it. Big piece of that puzzle.
Yep.
And this, to get to this point, we had to submit a pre-application and be selected past the pre-application point. So Aspect has been, consulting has been working with us. We submitted the pre-application and then were contacted by Washington Emergency Management and saying, yes, we want you to move forward. We then submit this application to them along with the other projects in Washington. They rank their projects and then submit it at a national level. So they feel we have a project with the ASR program for the water treatment plant to move forward at a national level.
They like our project.
They do.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I thought I heard on the news where FEMA was being considered to, they're considering and dissolving FEMA. Is this the same FEMA?
So similar, it's all FEMA, but this part has to do with hazard mitigation, part of our hazard mitigation plan when Sandy Duffy was here and we had to approve that. This has come into play in that. We had to have that hazard mitigation plan to be able to move forward. This has to do with drought, a number of things. And drought is a big concern on there. So I haven't heard it's being completely resolved. I know there was a pause on grants for a 24-hour period on federal funds, but that has been lifted and they're still continuing with everything at this point. So.
Okay, if there's no further questions, I'll entertain a motion to this application and resolution. No resolution. There is a resolution, yep.
I'll make a motion to approve the application submission for the fiscal year 24 FEMA Building Resilient Infrastructure and Communities Grant, along with a resolution 2025-02 designating the application agent for the grant. And do I need to say your name?
No. I'll second that.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Now I'd like to move to item 4B.5, which was the regarding the Sunnyside Jail contract. John, you had some questions for police chief.
Yeah, just let me plug in. Where's the deal? So anyway, we're going to increase the cost by $5 per day per individual. Currently, how much are we spending to house prisoners?
For the total line item for 2025 is $140,000.
That's the budget?
Yes.
Will you exceed that or?
We exceeded that last year.
You did?
Yes, we did.
People are going to jail.
I believe.
Well, I know we've got our own municipal court now, and I know that we're not settling. If there's charges, then we're bringing people up on charges. A lot of those cases are being held as telecommunications because people are already in prison or in jail. It's too bad we have to ship that money out. Side of the community, outside of the county, that we live in.
The Sunnyside facility works very well with our court. And so, you're right, exactly. We do a lot of it is over Zoom and things. We're really pleased with their services.
Okay.
It's going to exceed that quite a bit. On the last payables, I believe it was 22 or 25,000 that we paid for jail services.
That should be going in our community.
Yeah, I'm entertaining a motion now to approve that.
I'll make a motion to approve the
local agreement?
Local agreement with Sunnyside for jail housing.
Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Now we're going to move to item 4C, which is approving an ordinance amending OMC 2.04, section 2.04010, titled Council Meetings. And our city clerk, Tanya Morales, has been busy doing some research. Tanya, do you want to present your findings to the city council?
Yes, thank you, Mayor. This item is for council to consider amending our council meetings chapter to go down to 2 meetings a month instead of 3 meetings. I think we brought this to council in the past with a suggestion, and it was determined that we could just cancel meetings if we don't have anything for the agenda. In 2024, we canceled 8 meetings, which is easy to do, but the feedback we received from the community was kind of negative. It appeared that we were just canceling meetings due to lack of transparency, which really wasn't the case. We just didn't have an agenda. We weren't going to try and make something up to just have a meeting. So I did research, and it appears all our surrounding neighbor cities and other cities within our population are only having 2 meetings a month. So I showed that research on my agenda. If we were to amend this, we would recommend to doing our meetings on the second and fourth Monday, because that's when accounts payable and payroll would need to be approved. And if we ever need to have an extra meeting, we could always schedule a special meeting.
Council?
Two works for me.
Been here for 11 years now, going on 12. And I know that, you know, we've had, you know, real quick meetings, nothing on them. But then we've also had the ones where there's 7 or 8 items and we sit here until almost 9 o'clock trying to figure, you know, getting it done. If we do 2 meetings, are we going to be loading those meetings up so that we can expect to be here until, you know, 8:30, 9 o'clock at night every time we have a meeting?
No, I don't anticipate that. I think that,
you know, outside of the meetings that we canceled, we had how many special meetings? How many meetings did we call as emergency meetings to make decisions?
Maybe 2. I mean, my job would be to make sure that we're not loading them and being here all night. And I did look at the, you know, we did for majority of the year only have 2 meetings a month, and we weren't here till 9, 10 o'clock. So
no, but there have been times that we were.
Our longer meetings tend to be in the budget season. We could always call special meetings during budget season.
I know that when we do public hearings, that gets rather lengthy, especially when it's you know, something that's a hot topic of conversation. Mm-hmm. So,
and we would take all of that into consideration on how we do our agendas.
All right, it doesn't matter to me.
Need a motion?
I'll make a motion to move to 2 meetings a month for our council agendas.
I'll second.
So your motion's to adopt this ordinance?
Yes.
Thank you. And your seconds to adopt who? Correct. Yeah. Okay. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried.
Second and fourth meeting.
Now, move to item 4D, which is approving the ordinance amending OMC 9.4030, prohibited parking, and 9.40.040 related to penalties. And tonight, Chief Rehm, you wanted to walk the council through this ordinance change.
Yes. Thank you, Council. As it reads in the agenda memos, alley vehicle parking has increased in recent years. Pre-movement of alley traffic is essential for emergency and utility vehicle response. It is also necessary for homes that only have alley access to have free movement. The Thelma Municipal Code provides guidance for a number of other parking services, but none regarding parking in a manner that obstructs free movement of vehicles within an alley. OMC 9.40.03 addresses prohibited parking locations within the city. The attached proposed amendment adds sections to section E to that OMC entitled Parking Shall Not Obstruct Alley Traffic. Section 1 provides guidance for issuance of a parking ticket when there is less than 12 feet of free movement of width left or from the parked vehicle. Authorized guidance regarding vehicle park that block alley access driveways. So the alleys were constructed for utilities, and we're getting a lot of use out of our alleys right now. So we're having cars that are parking and they're allowing less than 10 feet at some points for anybody to get by. And so the idea of this ordinance was to give it a more concrete guidance to the responding officers to deal with the obstructed alley. It was also noticed during this investigation of this type of problem that the parking penalties was at a C-19, which provides a $51.25 fine on the ticket, and that's with the court costs. So we call it a C-19, and then you add 105%, and that's what the court wants us to write on the ticket, that they add 105% to all of those. I propose that we raise this to a C-16 to $123. During the time of looking through this, fire, EMS, trash disposal operators were talked to and provided input regarding the 12 feet of width. The city attorney assisted with authoring the amendment so it fits into what we want to do. Free to ask any questions.
Yeah, I do. So parking versus temporarily loading and unloading, or
yeah, that wouldn't temporary unloading, that wouldn't then that's almost called standing. There's a difference between standing and parking. Standing is an occupied vehicle. I would think somebody unloading their groceries or something like that would count as, you know, just common sense to somebody that's standing.
Mm-hmm.
Parking is parked, locked, left, unattended.
Okay. So something I want to make a comment on that. Having to deal with the alleys here, generally when somebody's loading or unloading their vehicle, when I come through the alley, 99% of the time, they're getting out of the way as quick as they can, you know, it's just, yeah. So it's
not a problem.
That's never been a problem. But I do have some other comments on this also.
Go ahead.
So it needs to be understood that just because it says 12 feet in there, you have to leave 12 feet space. So when I come through that alley, my truck is just over 10 feet wide. That leaves me less than a foot on each side of my truck to work those alleys. I don't know what a Vista is. I don't know what their trucks are because they work in the alleys. I don't know what the ambulance, I don't know how wide they are, but it's got to be real close to that. And especially in the wintertime when these alleys get to be solid sheets of ice, people have to leave enough room to be able to work those alleys.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not just me. That's all utilities, ambulances, fire, everybody. So, you know, somebody's parked in the alley and say, hey, you know what? I've left my 12 feet here, pound sand. I'm within the ordinance. That's not going to work.
No. And I've thought about that. And as far as there's a snow berm or anything like that, that's now obstructed by nature. So you would just take the travel portion of that road. So you're going to minus that with the snow berms.
Because, you know, so those alleys are supposed to be 20 feet wide. But within that 20 feet, there's also garbage cans that sit out 3 feet. There's power poles that sit out a couple feet. We've got the cable companies, and I don't even know what they are, but they're putting these boxes in the alleys now. I assume it's got something to do with the internet stuff that they're doing. But yeah, the alleys are getting smaller and smaller and smaller.
Yeah.
And so
with the ambulance, what we did is we actually went to the ambulance barn and had them open a door to and measure how far was adequate for them.
I think this is good. It's good that there's some.
Yeah, it's going in the right direction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyone else?
Okay. I'd entertain a motion then to approve this amendment to the OMC 9.0.30 and amending OMC 9.4040 related to penalties.
I'll make that motion.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you. And I am going to continue a public hearing from several weeks ago at 6:31 p.m. And that public hearing is on ordinances for off-street parking / RV parking / vision clearance at intersections. And tonight we're taking up this matter. I had given the council some guidance in that you need to check this out for yourself and then make a decision if you can tonight on this off-street parking. We do have a recommendation from the Planning Commission. And before we get into council comments or the public comments, I'd like to have our Community Development Director, Ann Henning, briefly overview where we're at today.
Thank you. So, this was discussed at your January 6th meeting. There were a lot of comments that night. I tried to take down all the comments and provide you in my agenda memo a response or, you know, discussion of those items. I did not make any changes to the ordinance. The ordinances are the same as you saw last time, other than updating some dates. So I wanted any changes to come from the council because that's, you know, your authority in looking at ordinances is you can make changes to what's proposed. But I did, this is what, as the Planning Commission recommended it. Hopefully you've had a chance to read the agenda memo and we can discuss any items you have further questions on.
Council, questions?
So I got a question. It says all vehicles shall be parked on improved parking spaces, concrete or asphalt. So for an example, I have a space that's gravel in my front yard that I park on. And I know there's quite a few others around town. So does that make us required to change that?
So where are you, which part of the ordinance are you looking at?
17.61.010B.
And so the only change to the existing is to take out the part where it said that if the the parking off of a gravel alley had to be paved. So it's taking away that requirement. The other requirements are not changing. There is somewhere else that
there's
it addresses.
There's an exception under...
So under...
B to 1761-010. Exception, parking accessed from a gravel alley may be compacted gravel.
And then also farther down the page under 1761-015 talks about for residential, can't park on the lawn. They have to park on gravel, concrete, or asphalt. But that is, you're right, that is a conflict. Should probably be fixed.
Minimum required parking spaces for a new residence must be concrete or asphalt unless accessed directly from a gravel alley.
So we have the ordinance as it exists, and then the Planning Commission reviewed it and they made some suggestions for changes. And the City Council, I mean, Ann just pointed out there is one revision that needs to be corrected, but is there concerns or ongoing concerns that the council would like to discuss?
I want to discuss the setbacks for the parking, the alley parking setbacks. And I want to show an example of what happens on the pictures, and I can't find them on here for some reason. I'm not finding them in my packet. I know they're there, I'm just not looking in the right place. Do you know what I'm talking about?
The examples that I provided from the Planning Commission?
Not the drawings, there's actual pictures.
Like picture, aerial photos?
Parking excerpts.
Yeah, the aerial pictures.
Yeah, parking excerpts. There's pictures, there's drawings. Okay.
Yes, so if you go into the parking that one, and go to hold on, I'll find it here.
So tell us what page.
That's what I'm going to do. No, that's not the picture I'm looking for. I'm looking for the picture of the apartment down there on, I believe it's Juniper. There's a house there, and then they build apartments in the back, and then there's that church that sits up on 4th.
Like this.
No. There was an overhead picture. Oh, yes. The one at 355 Spruce. This picture right here. Where is that at?
Oh, you can make it smaller.
It's page...
Page 10 of 16 on the excerpts. Tap, yeah. Do you want to make that a little bigger, please? Okay, so that's your example?
Yes. Okay. So this right here, that second building from the right, is an apartment that was built in there. And I didn't go measure it, but I'm assuming that those parking, if...
I think it's 20 feet, exactly 20.
Okay, so if you look in the property, in the property behind it on the other side of the alley, you can see where that's driven up in there, where the gravel's been moved over and up in, that's all the way up in that church's, that's all the way up in that church's property. So that's what happens when there's not enough setback for those parking areas. Those people are backing onto their property to get out of their spaces. So when I come through there in the morning and pick that church's garbage up, they've usually got their garbage way up there because the people backing out of those apartments are backing into it, even though it's all the way up on the other side of that. There's a little bit of gravel there and then a dirt section.
Okay, so for reference, for council and for anybody in the audience, what he's talking about is a location right over here by one, a vista is on 4th Avenue. So one block, and then remember the Coleman's then, as you go past, as you're going down Spruce, just one block over here, one block over this way. Then the next, there was two, what are they, triplexes, Ann?
Yes.
Yeah, two triplexes were built, and that's what he's referring to right over here. They were brand new.
No, this was one triplex. It's one triplex. It was,
one, okay.
There was a house in front. They built a duplex in the back. Then they knocked down the house in front and made a third unit on the front.
I stand corrected, but go ahead. Corey.
So the other thing I want to say is I've shown Councilmember Councilwoman Valdez and Councilman Garza out here, right out here in the parking lot. We measured it off, and Mayor Logan I showed. And it's not, you're not going to make those without the bigger setbacks. I don't know how to get it across any better without people actually seeing it. You know, I know I said at the last meeting, it's go look, go measure off, go look, and go look and see what it is. So I've showed two council members exactly what happens. And it wasn't a good outcome with the lower setbacks.
A compact car or just a car in general could probably do it, but in a truck or a longer truck, there was no way. We're either hitting vehicles on the side, hypothetically, if there was a fence or a garbage can, we would hit that as well. And that's what we were able to clearly see in Marie's demonstration today. It's really tight.
And I'm not the one who, just so you know, I'm not the one who drove the vehicle that would have potentially hit the cars or hit the fence. So it wasn't, there was no games there. It was somebody else who drove the vehicle.
So it could work for community members that have vehicles such as cars, but anything larger than that would be a challenge to navigate through.
And in a parking lot, you would, the access aisle for 90 degree parking would be 24 to 26 feet. That's the standard that's recommended.
And that's for angled?
For 90 degree parking.
Oh, for 90 degree.
Which would suggest that you would need at least
behind the
22 to 23 feet on each side.
In the depth of the space.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I guess you'd need the whole, the 4 to 6 feet, because you can't count on what's on the other side being empty.
Well, if we feel we need the longer parking, why aren't we looking at the angled parking?
Because
that shortens up the distance.
It does. It reduces the amount of...
It makes them very easy to pull into and out of. So if you had angled parking going one way, angled one way on one side of the alley and angled the other way on the other side of the alley, then you do not have an issue with people pulling out, and you don't have an issue with having the longer parking spaces.
You do lose some spaces, though.
You do lose some spaces, but I think it's the good compromise.
I don't think that we need to make that decision. The builder or the you know, the person coming to get approval from the city would make that, you know, based on what he's allowed to do within the space according to the ordinance that we're trying to create.
Right.
Right. But that's where you guys have the say.
Mm-hmm.
So the council will decide this. So just keeping it in perspective, we have an ordinance as it's written. Ori is suggesting that we keep it, either keep it the same or at a minimum lengthen the 3 feet, which was the recommendation. The 3 feet was a recommendation of the Planning Commission.
Mm-hmm.
Gina has offered a compromise of angle parking.
Okay. My other compromise is, if you want to give the people, the landowners that are going to be building the complexes, the choice, then you give them the choice of you can have 90 degree parking at this length, or you can have angled parking, but you lose some spaces.
Okay.
But you're still going to be required to have 2 spaces per apartment.
Mm-hmm.
So most when people are building in the alleys, most of them are building lengthwise up to the alleys. The only problem or question there would be if there's enough space. I would be fine with doing angled parking and doing the 3 foot setback.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just if there's enough space to get 2
yeah.
spaces per apartment.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Well, that's why I said you could give them the option. You can either lose a couple of parking spaces or you lose more lot.
That would work for me.
You know, you could give them either or. You can have the longer spaces, 90 degree, but you're going to lose more lot. Or you have the angled spaces and you lose more parking. You lose a little bit of parking. I think that's a good compromise, and it puts it in the landowner's choice. It gives him more choices.
That would work is the angled space. I like the angled spaces. I do.
Mm-hmm. I do too.
You know, you're still going to have a small setback there,
mm-hmm.
but it's better than trying to.
It makes it less, you take up less of your lot with the angle spaces, but you don't get quite as many parking spaces that you can get in there.
Right.
But then you also give them the choice of you can have the longer spaces, but you lose more lot. You get more parking, but you lose more lot. So then it's basically it's a choice for the builder, for the people that are, you know, it's like you make your choice. We're giving you both choices. You make your choice and decide what's best for you.
Okay.
Sounds good to me.
You're still going to lose more lot at an angled because you're going to be taking away at least 1 car spot. Say if it's a triplex,
mm-hmm.
you got 6 parking spots, you put them at an angle, you're going to lose 1 spot.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Now
you either lose a spot or you lose lot.
That's all to conform.
Yeah,
to
but you still have to have 1 more spot.
What we put in the ordinance.
The lots in the middle of town, they're only 50 feet wide, so you can't even fit 6 spaces.
Right.
Put in angled parking, it's a directional parking. So when you pull in, you're going to pull out and you're going to head in 1 direction. You're not going to try to. So if it's like this, for instance, on this particular unit, if you angled all those cars, you're going to come in from the short side. From the street right there, you're going to come in and angle park. Then when you go to leave, you're going to have to drive all the way down the alley
mm-hmm.
to come out. So it's kind of directional parking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so you're going to go 1 direction to get
yep.
to get in, 1 direction
and
to go
and the
out.
Other side of the alley should be the other direction.
But the landowner is basically having to make that decision on what he's mm-hmm. going to do or is capable of doing
mm-hmm.
based on the
size of his
values lot. We put in the ordinance.
Mm-hmm.
So if we don't want to change the values and leave the values the way they are,
mm-hmm.
that's the decision he's going to have to make.
Mm-hmm.
Whether he can do it with straight in parking or with angled parking.
Yeah. But it puts the decision back on the builder, and they can make the decision on what fits best for them.
Well, I don't think there's anything in the ordinance right now that prohibits angled parking. It's a decision of the builder. If he's going to build a complex on a lot, he has to conform with the city ordinance. And if the city ordinance says he cannot exceed this distance mm-hmm. into the alley, then he's got to make a decision. What can I do for parking for mm-hmm. my people?
Yeah.
And angled parking would be fine. That would be an option. But that doesn't need to be in the ordinance. I mean, the ordinance is distance. It's how far out can you encroach on the alley, you know, or you have to stay back.
Do you agree with that statement, Ann?
I don't think that if you did, I don't think the ordinance as it's written now would give the allowance for angled parking and not have to meet the 8 feet. So I think we would have to put in some language mm-hmm. about that if we wanted to allow that.
That could be
plus
real
it makes
easy.
It very clear.
That would be real easy. If you go angled parking, you'd have 3 foot setback. 90 degree parking, you have an 8 foot setback. But then you got to determine what the angle has got to be for that 3 foot setback.
And so when you're saying a setback, are you making, is it at the, basically making the parking space that much longer,
you're still
or
gonna
talking setback?
You're still going to have to have, basically you're going to have, even at angled parking, you're going to have a 23 foot parking area.
Okay.
But
just by calling it a setback, it makes it a little bit confusing.
Well,
so
then
I think we'd have to change
the language. We get rid of the word setback and just call it that length of a parking
3 foot area. Off the alley. Right away. What is it? I mean,
that would be a setback. Would be measured parallel.
Yep.
So I don't know if that's what you're saying. I think you're probably saying the parking space has to be longer, and you're saying it has to be.
It would be the same thing. Well, you're still, so if you're going to require a 20-foot parking area and then a 3-foot setback would be exactly the same thing as requiring a 23-foot parking area.
So the setback is going to be parallel to the parking. It's just semantics. I just need to understand what you want. But I think I've heard different things from you, so I don't get
it. I'll shut up. I'll shut up and let you explain it.
Gina,
I mean,
what's your thought?
Well, like as long as the angled parking stays within the whatever that's in the ordinance. So do you need a 3 foot setback or 3 foot extra for angled parking? I don't think you do, because I think you're going to be able to get the angled parking within the parameters of keeping it out of the alley.
So the easiest thing to do, it would be require a 20-foot parking area with a 3-foot setback for angled parking. So that way you're getting the 20-foot parking area, you're getting your extra 3 feet for angled, for 90-degree parking, that 8-foot setback with the 20-foot parking area.
But I think you can't, with angled parking, you can't call it a setback if you want a 23-foot space. It's not a setback anymore.
Mm-mm.
You still have a setback. There's going to be the angle of your parking and only come here. Your 20 foot is here, so one side is longer and the quarter side is shorter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's not going
to
be.
As long as the car fits within the area that it's has
that's
to
a
be.
Geometry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But that's where it's thing.
But
here's my question. So it's either 8 foot or 3 feet from the boundary line that they can't exceed, correct? Do we as a council have to determine the degree of angle that each parking space needs to be?
Yes.
Hold on, let me finish. Needs to be, or is that determined by the builder who submits the plans to the city for approval?
So if you don't determine an angle, you're going to get guys who will go from this angle at a half a foot, and there's your angle.
But you can set a minimum.
So it's going to have to be, the angle is going to have to be
there's
set.
There's going to be a minimum set. And then the parameters are you cannot stick out beyond what the...
Okay, I don't want to get too hung up on that.
Yeah.
And here's why. Because you guys know that every situation is different based upon the layout of the property. So I don't want to say you got to do a 45 or you have to do a 60 or you have to do whatever. You just allow, I mean, let's just be more liberal as we apply it. The thing that we want is what we don't want is we don't want anybody's nose or their tail sticking out in the alley.
Yep.
So
it just has
that's
to
all
meet,
we
it
really
just has
want.
To meet
that's all
that.
You need to determine.
Yep.
Or be able to get out of their spot without running over the neighbor's fence, without running in the neighbor's car, without running in my garbage cans or telephone poles.
We're going to assume that because now, I mean, think of the process because that's usually, you guys are government, process. Everything we do has a process. So somebody gets building urge and so they draw a sketch. And that sketch, depending upon what level of building or developing they want to do, they have to bring it into the city. And then they have to show the city a plan that they've drawn out or an architect has drawn out or a drafter or whatever. But we need to see what's the plan. How big is this piece of property? What are they going to meet all the setbacks? Do they are they going to have adequate parking? We go through all that process. So in that process, the city building and planning department will approve or suggest changes that they're going to need to make in order to meet the code. And if their existing plan doesn't. And part of that is that, if you're going to have your garbage picked up in the alley, it can't be in the way of the other people. I mean, you can't just put it back and, line them all up, cans all up or whatever. So a lot of that is assumed. And then that's worked out between Consolidated Disposal, Bonnie, the front staff. If there is a problem after we've already issued, they've built and they've issued. So, I mean, we regulate enough. I think that if we just keep this simple, we don't make it complicated, I think we can get an agreement tonight.
Yeah.
So, but I also have a question about, is there any other issues about these changes? Because it's not just the one ordinance. There's a number of ordinances that we're looking at. Specifically, ordinance 1627, 1628, and 1629. And so the one we've been focused on is the off-street parking. What about the storage and parking of the boats, campers, large vehicles, motorhomes? RVs, RV parking, and vision clearance at intersections. Do we have any comments on that?
So I want to talk about 1629 also.
Okay, vision clearance.
And the easiest way to do this is, can you bring up MapSifter? I'm not sure that the Planning Commission took a really good look at the numbers that they're recommending here. The first one is the triangle parking along the street, and it doesn't matter any address within any intersection, anybody's house on an intersection. these numbers are insane to me. The amount of what are they calling it? The amount where you can't park your car or anything.
Go north triangles. Oh, yeah, that's fine. They're on the corner of Spruce. That's good.
So, okay, let's take a look at the lower the house on the lower left-hand corner, that one right there. So if you go back 50 feet from the corner, this plan wants to go from the corner 50 feet each way. So,
still blind, Mark.
So,
you measured that car 16.4 feet away?
So, yeah, so measure back 50 feet. Let's go 50 feet this way. Okay, that's 54 feet. So, basically, what you're with these numbers on here, whoever owns this house is not going to be able to park a car from the east side of their sidewalk all the way to the corner. And then
that only applies within the lot, so it doesn't apply on the street.
Okay, on here it says that cars are included in here.
Parking on the lot would be included. Reason for that was that Heather said that there's a lot of large, she has a lot of calls about large, like RVs parked near the corner on the lot, and that was why we added the vehicle to that.
Okay, so then I misunderstood it. I thought that it was parking.
So we just need to make that very clear in the ordinance.
So okay, so if you go down, go a little bit north of that or south of that, Spencer. So you go back to the alley. Oh, that's not a good. Can you go ahead and go up a block somewhere where there's a clear, right there, that one. So the other one is the alley and your alley triangle. The way it's suggested in here on the alley, it's 20 feet from the corner of the alley down the street and then 20 feet up the alley. That's going to take a really good chunk, a really good piece of property, basically take a piece of property away from these people. They're not going to be able to put fences there or anything else in that corner of their yard. And by all rights, I should be the last one arguing this to keep that clear, but I don't like taking that much property and telling people that they can't put anything in their backyard back there. I think that that's wrong. Right now, what is it? How far off that street do you have to have a fence? 8 feet?
For front yards or long alleys?
I'm sorry?
And front yards or on long alleys?
So on the side yards. So, right? So this, so from here to here, right now, what is it for the, how far do you have to have a fence back from the street right now? Is it 8 feet?
So the fence has to be on the property. It can't be on the right of way. Front yard, which goes all the way across, you can't go higher than 3 feet.
3 feet, right. But what I'm asking is, so the way this is set is you go from the corner of the alley 20 feet. So you're going to go from here 20 feet this way, and then you're going to go from here 20 feet this way. And that entire corner there, you're not going to be able to put a fence there. You're not going to be able to put a shed there. You're not going to be able to put anything else there. So in essence, what that's doing, that's taking that property from those people.
And so I think that's what the existing ordinance says. I was just trying to make it more clear. I mean, what it says right now is alley entrances intersecting the street and alley line at points 20 feet from the intersection of such street and alley lines or such street and alley lines produced. You can't have a...
That's really confusing.
I don't know exactly what that means. I thought that's what it meant.
So I knew it was confusing. If you're confused about
it. If we just have to have the fence off the side of the house to the property line, basically. And is that less than 20 feet?
So basically, if you go and you measure all these fences that run along here, almost nobody butting up against an alley, their fences are not going to meet in this ordinance.
Well, that's what I'm asking. There is a setback for the side yard, for the fence in the backyard. along a side road. So what is that setback? I would say that 20 feet, if that 20 feet is larger than the setback, then it creates an issue. It shouldn't be any larger than the setback.
You're right, mm-hmm. And I agree with you.
Okay, so to visualize that, Spencer, go to the ordinance on board docs that says the second document. No, wait a minute. It's the ordinance 1629.
Vision clearance.
Vision clearance. And if you go to page 2 of 3, there's the diagonal and there's what it looks like.
Yeah.
That these guys are describing. Can you make that a little bigger, please? So there's the street. And then if you slide it down a little bit, keep going. We want to see the alley. Okay. So there's the alley vision clearance area.
Mm-hmm.
20 feet up the alley, 20 feet yeah. from the alley.
And you see it's crossing the property line.
Mm-hmm. And then if you go up to the intersection, it's a larger arc because it's 50 by 50.
Mm-hmm.
So in this ordinance, talking about a vision clearance area to ensure sight distance safety for vehicles and pedestrians, created by measuring 50 feet along the curb of each street, mm-hmm. et cetera. Within the vision clearance on section E, 17.56, that's page 2 of 3 on there. Above that, Spencer, it reads, no fence, wall, structure of any kind, vehicle, bush, or foliage shall be allowed over a height of 3 feet above the established top of any curb, over a height of 3.5 feet above street grade if there's no curb. So it's not a complete ban on everything, but you could have a 3-foot fence if you want to.
Yeah. Well, in the front yard.
Yeah, in the front yard.
In the front yard. I don't think the front yard is nearly as much of an issue because I think that you can look at the type of tree, the type of bush, the type of mm-hmm. fence. But in the backyard, I think that's more of an issue because so you're going to have everybody have a chunk angled out on their back corner. And the fence is still allowed to come out to the property line. So it still creates, you know, it's still at the same place. It's just that you're telling them, oh, well, you can't build perpendicular down to the corner. You've got to build an angle across there. Okay. So it makes more sense for the back one to be to the property line, not 20 feet.
So you don't like it?
In the fence ordinance, it is 13 feet along the alley,
then,
which would be basically the property line. That's why it's 13 feet.
So you could have it 20 feet up, but it could only go 13 to the property line.
So the way this is written, on the edge of those alleys, there's probably not going to be a fence in town that would be in compliance with this.
Mm-hmm.
At the alley entrances,
mm-hmm.
because you go down these alleys and they're all way less than 20 feet up out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that's wrong to take people's property like that. And it's, granted, it's not taking it, but who wants to build a 3-foot fence? Why would you build a 3-foot fence in your backyard? People build 6-foot fences for a reason. You know, I would like to see that portion of 1629. Now that I understand, the front a little bit better, I don't have an issue.
But
with
the
that.
Alley one, but, yeah. I don't like.
Spencer, could you go to 4th and
Like
Othello
I said, I have
Street.
No problem with it being 20 by 13.
So.
Just.
North.
Owners on corners. It's just affecting certain property owners.
Keep going.
ones that fit that.
Mm-hmm.
There. Yeah.
Ones that are on the corners.
So you?
Yeah.
So on these corners right here, if you go 50 feet, you're taking away part of these people's driveways on all four corners there.
There are several driveways around.
Mm-hmm.
Go south.
Mm-hmm.
And then 3 foot tall. Something 3 foot tall.
Yeah, I'd have to buy a sports car, mow to the ground.
Tall. Taking
saying you can't have vehicles parked in that triangle,
right.
That wouldn't work.
Okay. So you've been taking good notes, Anne.
I've been taking some notes, but I've been hearing, not sure how we want to resolve them. So
okay, so let's go back over what I believe our issues are. The first one has to do with the alley parking.
Mm-hmm.
The second issue has to do with this rectangle that we keep wanting to draw.
Triangle,
excuse me. Got my geometry wrong. And what else are we? I mean, we need to stay focused on what the issue is, or we're not going to get through this tonight. So
the alley.
So do you want to revisit the alley now to come up with a resolution?
No, I want to leave the alley the way it is. Whatever the setbacks and the fence are on the alley, it should stay the way it is.
And that was existing ordinance or proposed?
The existing ordinance. So basically just wipe that section of 1629 out. Let's see, it would be...
Okay, so let me clarify.
C could be just remove C.
Clarify. There's the vision clearance ordinance, which includes alleys, and then there's the alley parking ordinance.
So for 1629.
Which is the vision clearance one.
Which is vision clearance, remove C. It would be 17.56.040.
So we currently do have some regulations about that, whatever it's they right say, here. I don't know, yeah. But because I don't understand it.
This is the one they're trying to get rid of and replace.
I wouldn't have any problem with C if you have it so 20 it feet by to the 13.
At points 20 feet from the intersection of such street and alley lines. That exists already today. I don't know that that's the same thing as this here.
I think that's so incomplete.
What if we did,
Corey,
instead of 20 here, what if we did 13 here so it went to the property line?
So that's what we have now, though, right?
Kind of.
What does that say? It says 20 feet.
It says alley. Intersecting the street and alley
just
line.
Just make it clear and make it 20 by to the property line to the 13 feet.
From the intersection. Right.
Yeah, just make it clear. Leave C in there, but change the dimensions to 20 by 13.
That would save most fences in town, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not save.
Yeah, because you can't put your fence beyond the property line.
Right. That's fine. You shouldn't be building over your property line anyways.
Yeah.
But you've got to be able to build on your property.
Yeah. And leave the front.
So something needs to be done about the front for, like, Councilman Snyder brought up, driveways.
Well,
which
the thing is, Ari, and correct me if I'm wrong, even with the ordinance changing, it will not change people that already have existing driveways and that.
The problem comes because we're adding vehicles to what can be a site obstruction.
Well, then.
So if you remove vehicles,
yeah.
If you remove
because,
vehicles.
Because as you saw on the one that he was, we were just looking at, 50 feet back covered their entire driveway on that one side of the block. Because it was a side, a different side of the property.
All the intersections up there are like that.
Yeah.
Your neighbor across the street is the same way. They've got a driveway right there.
Yep.
Reduce it to 10 feet.
Not adding vehicles into that
would eliminate that problem.
Get rid of that problem.
So take the vehicles out of it.
Another wrench in. A motorhome is considered a vehicle. But you can store, so part of the ordinance says you can store trailers and motorhomes on your property so far as they sit back. I think it says 13 feet.
That's why.
I can't hear what you're saying.
Unless it's inside the rigid clearance area.
The triangle.
Right.
Can't have it in the triangle.
Yeah, park in the triangle.
But it's hard. So then it's like Councilman Doral says, you're taking away people's driveways.
Yeah, you're penalizing people who have a different driveway set up.
I'm sorry, Councilwoman, not Councilman.
That's okay.
Do you have a solution?
Well, I think
or even a recommendation.
Do I have to identify myself?
Yes.
Yes, please.
You know how many times I've had to identify myself in the past 5 days? Chris Doro, Planning Commission Chair, down. Better?
Better.
850 East Hemlock. The reason that we looked at, the way we looked at vision clearance area was what was not fence related, because we felt the current code for fence defined. We thought the 13-foot setback was adequate as defined, but it's building additional structures inside that area. And remember, this is not going to regulate something that has been built. It will only regulate things that have not been built. You know, this is one of those areas, in the parking, we were concerned about creating as much space possible that you could use. But in this one, it's making sure it's safe and making sure you're doing the right thing. You don't want, in the one you have just described there, you really don't want a shed in that corner, because that is going to affect your vision clearance. You don't want an RV parked in there, because that also will affect that.
But you're going to give 13 feet. You'll have 13 feet. If you can't come up and see in 13 feet,
yeah,
the 20 feet isn't going to make a difference.
We're looking at previous standards and standards from, I mean, the old standard was even more aggressive. That's why we went to that. It was safety standard. So that's why we went.
Which I don't think. I think 13 feet is gonna eliminate you building a shed right in the corner.
I don't think any of us would disagree with you on that. We just looked at standards from other cities and what was normal and customary. And 20 was the normal and customary. Mm-hmm. But no, our intention was not to have cutouts in fences and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But if somebody were to build inside that vision clearance, for example, and as we restrict some areas, people get pushed into others. So we just want to make sure that we didn't create safety issues by that circumstance.
So you're saying that existing driveways,
well, they would be affected.
It would not be affected because they're grandfathered in.
Their driveways.
So and just said no.
You want to see how many people could show up to this meeting?
And
you need to move
on that.
Rob told me his house is in
the
wrong
spot. The existing structures for driveways and that fall within that.
If you're taking a vehicle out, mm-hmm. then the driveway doesn't matter.
All right.
But what about the RVs?
So RVs in the RV, the proposed language for RVs on private property says vehicle shall be set back at least 13 feet from the curb or not parked on a sidewalk, not located within the clear view triangle area.
So how does that affect somebody parking it in their driveway?
Go back to the picture of that driveway.
That falls within that.
The driveway is about 38 feet long. So.
But it falls within that 50 feet from the curb.
Right, but where are you going to be parking your RV in that 38 feet?
Are you parking it out? Are you parking it closer to your house?
Yeah.
Less impacted by that.
Mm-hmm.
So if you took cars and pickups out of the ordinance for that, for the front there, that works. That covers motorhomes. That would allow people to park in their driveways. That would solve a whole lot of problems. But cars were specifically listed in here.
It just said vehicles in general. So yeah,
just vehicles. Yeah, and like.
But the intention was to deal with the
the structures that are already in place are not going to be affected by this ordinance. It's just new structures being put in.
Correct. And what we looked at, sort of a number of things, I mean, since we're talking about hopefully all the ordinances, our intention was to find places, we saw multiple areas where growth was being stymied by regulation. And trying to find workarounds while still providing adequate safety. So, for example, you know, we thought it was excessive, the restaurant requirement for parking. And we saw that as being something that prevented commercial development. So we found something that made a little more sense. I realize you guys might not like or might not like the setback, but unfortunately, 28 feet to park a vehicle prevents a lot of building from happening. And that's why we looked at, you know, something a little different to address that. The best thing we could come up with was the recommendations we made after looking at all the stuff actually you guys are talking about. I mean, you know how we do things at the Planning Commission. We only talked about this for 6 months before we made the recommendation to you all. So it goes through a pretty exhaustive process. But the purpose, and I appreciate that everyone is being very parking centric on their concerns, but also just keep in mind there is some building centric issues that drove most of our decisions and safety. So we wanted to create the opportunities, the best opportunities for people to develop, to add housing when we really need it, and to still keep things safe. So that was where our recommendations are. I will tell you the 3 foot setback had some debate, but we felt 8 foot was excessive and prevented some growth and some opportunity. Does got any more questions for me before I go back? You guys were a lot nicer than the other testimonies I had to give this week, so I appreciate that.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
Okay, so now you guys have some additional information. What do we want to do about this?
I think you also need to take additional testimony if there is any. Because we continued the public hearing.
It's true. That's a good point. So this time I'm going to open the public hearing to public comment. Is there anyone from the public who has any wisdom or ideas or thoughts about what the council's considering tonight?
Yeah, I got one. Sorry. I just wanted to clarify a position. Chris Doro again, not WSDA president. Planning Commission chair. Sorry, I had to say it 1,000 times. There's a question about the gravel and the usage. One of the things that we had a lot of debate about, especially in the alleys, was improved parking.
And did it really make sense to go from gravel to pavement or gravel to cement and carry all your gravel all over your pavement and your cement? So that's why we opted for you had to be like surfaces to what's in the alley. So if you had a paved alley, you would have to have that your parking spots improved to match that standard. But if it's gravel, it kind of makes sense to keep it that way. Mm-hmm. That just made things cleaner, easier, and made a lot of sense. So that was why that was set up that way. As far as parking regulations, again, I'm pulling from my memory, so I'm feeling pretty strong because I did have the 13-foot setback for the fences in my head. So I was happy about that. But I believe that there is an allowance for one parking area in the front end to be gravel when the other ones are paved, if I remember that one correctly.
So your required parking for a residence, which is two spaces, needs to be hard surface.
But you could, and the additional can be
gravel.
So that was to go back to that. I was sitting back there going, biting my tongue, because that's how that is. You just can't have all of them be that. You have to have some improved from the front space. But that doesn't require all of them to be that way. And that's in your ordinance now.
And that's not changing.
So I would, and everything else that I said before, I think I'd be pro of the changed ordinance.
Thank you. Anyone else? We'll close the public testimony. Council, do you need any additional information from staff? Mm-hmm. You have enough information for a decision? Or do you want to make a motion?
Well, are there things in here that need to be changed before we make a decision?
Well, the motion would be part of that.
Okay.
Motion.
Okay.
I make a motion to approve the changing of ordinance number 1629 with the changes that were recommended by the Planning Commission, with the exception of section one, letter C, the alley vision clearance triangle. I'd like to see that stay the same.
Alley, it should be 20 by 13?
20 by 13.
Second. Are you following this, Ann?
Yep.
Thank you. Any clarification you need?
Yes. Do you want to, in section E, remove vehicle from being added?
Yes.
As something that can be a vision obstruction?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. That's part of it.
So that part of the motion
now?
Okay, so let's withdraw the motion and let's do a new one. You want to do a motion that maybe you could help with the motion, Ann. Going all over the place.
Let me suggest.
Okay.
Okay, so as presented, except that in 040C, to add 13 feet along the alley, and then in E, to not add vehicle. That was proposed new language, so we did not add that one.
Okay, but I need you to withdraw your first motion.
I'll withdraw my first motion.
Thank you. Now, second motion is stated by Ann.
Yes.
Okay. Now we have the second. Any further discussion? Mark? All those in favor say aye.
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 Motion carried.
No, there was no objections to the other two, the other two ordinances. Do you want to approve those?
No, yeah, there actually is an objection.
Not for 1627 and 1628.
Hmm. Hey, Corey, this is that one is the alley parking.
Yes,
and so I'll entertain a motion. But with changes to the alley parking, which is which number is that, 1627?
That's parking.
Parking. Okay, I'm gonna close the public hearing at 7:29 p.m. And we'll go to the parking ordinance.
1627. Is this the one with the 8-foot setbacks?
Yes, yeah. So that's on page 2.
Right here. So
part D.
So I'll make a motion to approve the changes in ordinance 1627 with the exception of removing the 3-foot setback, leaving it at 8-foot setback for the parking spaces out of the alley.
And weren't we adding in the option of angled parking?
Well, once they come up with that degrees and angles and all that, okay, they bring that back.
Okay.
What, Tanya? I know, but I'm not sure I understand the motion. So,
you want me to rephrase it? So I'll make the motion to approve ordinance 1627 with the exception of leaving...
As written,
with the exception of the changing the 3-foot setbacks, leaving it at 8-foot setbacks for the parking spaces in the alley.
So that's 010D.
Beat.
Not make the changes.
Okay.
To that section.
Yeah, just
I have a second to that.
I'll second that.
Okay. So we have a motion made and seconded on ordinance 1627. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed?
And you'll bring us back the additional.
I might wait for someone to actually propose that. Changes, or at least look at what it would.
Because I thought we were going to determine the angle that you want and add that.
We weren't going to determine the angle. We're going to let it
be up to the landowner.
Well, with approval by the building department, it still has to meet.
Oh, yeah.
It's got to make it fit.
Yeah, it still has to have the number of required spaces. So I guess my preference is you leave it as flexible as possible so that the developer / builder can, as long as they meet the setback and the number of parking spaces, whether they go, perpendicular or whether they go angled parking.
And that's kind of what I wanted to see in the ordinance itself, is that there is an option.
Right now we have no option.
Right now you just have straight parking. The straight in parking with an 8-foot setback.
So we...
No, we just have an 8-foot setback. We
didn't
say
if it was... We do not have anything that determines how they drop their parking.
Good.
It's just if they fit, they fit. If they don't, then they got to come up with something else.
Okay.
Any further discussion on that? Okay, did we vote? Mm-hmm. Come on. Where are we? Did we vote on that? We did. Okay, so now we know 1628.
You can ask Tanya about it. I'm pretty sure we voted.
Yes.
Okay. I make a motion to
ordinance number 1628.
Second.
Say again, ma'am.
I don't think we had any
as
changes
written
to it.
As written.
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, staff, council. Thank you, planning commission. Thank you, Chris. Now I'm going to go to unfinished business. Item five. I'm ready to take down any unfinished business from the council, if there is any. About new business, item six. Okay.
I have one question regarding fire equipment, and this can be answered at some point down the road. We have one out of service ladder engine, and I know we're going to be starting up or taking on our own fire response services. Mm-hmm. But the way ahead to get either that vehicle repaired or replaced so that we have two ladder units available?
Obviously, we want to get that repaired. Mm-hmm.
We don't know. We've been told what needs to be done, sort of. It's a pump issue. And
the tank.
And the tank actually is leaking a little bit. But
we need to
do that research ourselves and not rely on somebody else telling us what mm-hmm. needs to be done.
And I know there's no money been allocated for that repair, but something that we should be looking at allocating monies for research and the repair,
mm-hmm.
replace that in for that ladder engine.
Okay.
On their video with both of the ladders up. So they did. Everything else works on that truck except for the tank and the pump.
Yeah. Okay. I'll get back with some information. Council tonight will also receive A, the fire department report for January, and B, the public works report for January. And with no further business, I'll conclude tonight's meeting at 7:36 p.m.
Members of the equipment use.